Good morning, folks. Welcome back. Happy Friday. We are heading into a weekend, heading into the Sabbath, and of course, it's been quite a week. As you know, I'm sure by now there has been a lot going on. We're going to talk about a lot of that today and a lot of things that essentially the waste stream is either lying about or trying to get you to be different about than probably we should be, but that's not anything new. It's just a degree in a lot of ways that what we're seeing today has surpassed even the stuff we were almost getting used to in the way of being obscene and unbelievable. Anyway, let me say good morning to co-host David Justice. He's on with us. How you doing, David?
Morning. We're at war. We're at war. We've been saying we're at war. We're still at war. And I pulled out my pen because I believe the pen is mightier than the sword, and this is a form of pen because it's talk, but we need to get real precise and talk about reality and what we're dealing with, and it's time that we engaged in this war, and so I hope we get to talk about that today and dissect and unpack what actually happened last week and what's going on in America. So thanks for having me on with you. I always appreciate this.
All right. Well, likewise. I appreciate you being here because there is a lot to talk about. And as we've said for a while now, the fact that we have been at war, World War III is in progress. And I think if they could start World War IV simultaneously, that would be on the agenda too. We've certainly seen it move to another front. And the one front that people aren't going to be aware of until it's too late, at least that's the intent. Hopefully we'll be able to at least affect that a bit. Is that there's another war. It's an economic war, and indeed that's the underlying reason behind all of these, because when we see an economy and a world that is based on an abomination so far as Scripture is concerned and so far as actual economics is concerned, and you know it's coming apart at the seams, well, guess what? As Gerald Celente likes to say, when all else fails, they take you to war. And the things that are failing those plans have been underway. The supply chain's broken. We're going to see famine. We're going to see so many other things. So why not? Hey, let's just pull out the stops and try to get war going on as many fronts as we can. I wouldn't be surprised that we're also very close, of course, to the inevitable what's happening in Taiwan, incompetence at home and treason at home will help to bring that about too. So in so many areas, it's hard not to understand at least the surface of what's going on. But let's talk about the details. Let me start with this one, and I think most of the listeners have probably heard it, David, but certainly you look at one of the world's premier intelligence organizations, no doubt about it. Mossad kind of sets the bar, at least they did, when it comes to understanding what's going on. Yes, they are no more bound by the, they don't have a First Amendment or a Second Amendment or a Fourth Amendment in Israel. We don't anymore in the United States, but that never even slowed them down. So just as the United States saw the 9/11 false flag in that case, that pretty well put a wooden stake in the Fourth Amendment and the concept of anything approaching God-given rights constitutionally protected. Well, it looks like what we saw in Israel this last weekend was not a 9/11 exactly, to the extent that I don't think Israel actually supported what was going on, but they certainly turned a blind eye to it, pun intended. They allowed it to happen, and there's just no other way around it, because Mossad is not as incompetent, as blitheringly idiotically is incompetent as they would have you believe in order to have the biggest planned invasion like that ever in modern history, certainly since 1973, take place. And, oh, we were so surprised. We moved all of our troops off the border. We let them cut the fences, bulldoze them down, paraglide across. We didn't have any air defenses. We didn't have anything. And then they were surprised, and it took hours to come in. Come on, who are we kidding? All right, go ahead, David. Add what you want. It's beyond unbelievable.
Well, I think we've been saying, and I'm pretty sure we've been saying it, but I don't know. Sometimes I forget where I say things. But I've been waiting for a false flag. The closer we get to the election coming up, I knew there was going to be a false flag. There's going to be another one because the enemies that we're fighting, that's their modus operandi. That's how they work. When Netanyahu got on air and declared, "Oh, Israel got attacked," you know, I was just looking at his demeanor, and it was obvious to me that he was a very smug and very I don't know, his whole demeanor said to me, Yeah, we knew this was going to happen, and we allowed it because this is part of the agenda. You know, and for Israel to get, okay, and when we say Israel, who are we talking about? We're not talking about the biblical Israel. So let's drill down on who we're talking about. There's a lot of psychopaths that have infiltrated and taken over the governments of this world and the economic systems of this world and the churches of this world and the pharmaceutical industry, and, you know, and on it goes. And that instrumentality, that thing that we want to call they, is time we distinguished the difference between Israel and they who have infiltrated and are hiding behind these capacities called Israel or United States of America. We are dealing with some very diabolically criminal minds here, and they will kill their own mother if it benefits them. They have no conscience. They just love power, and they love being in control, and their agenda is total power and control because they have this insatiable need, like a drug, that they cannot satiate. And, insatiable, can't satiate. Absolutely, I talk about redundant, but I can't be more redundant. So, no, I'm not buying that Israel, Mossad, the greatest intelligence agency on the planet, got caught off guard. No, Mossad has become just like America's FBI. They're part of it. They're part of facilitating an agenda to move toward a global government where they eliminate many of the population on the planet, you know, billions of people, and they set up their own little cartel where the alpha male or the alpha female or the alpha gets to rule over the other ones, and to hell with any kind of a constitution. They rule by force, like the CCP and the Chinese Communist Party. So
I don't think
this attack on Israel. Go ahead.
No, I just gonna say I don't think you get too much argument from most of the listeners. Those that study Scripture understand that there are multiple uses of the term Israel in Scripture. There's the Northern Kingdom that is separate from the kingdom of the time of King David and Solomon that was split, and the Northern Kingdom became Israel. The Southern Kingdom was in many cases, but not always, called Judah. Later on, it was the Lost Tribes because they went into exile, and then places like Samaria that was a location, but also at least partly representative of the people. Well, then, of course, Israel was scattered, and a lot of us would say, hey, Israel includes people and bloodlines that we have in our own bloodlines today. But the problem is most Americans and indeed most of the world cannot separate between a political state, which has nothing to do with the biblical state, and a land which was called by multiple names, Israel among them. And what we have today in the nation that is called Israel is a political nation, and it's largely socialist. No, their constitution is no more the Torah than the United States still has a constitution that was based on certain unalienable rights and principles and so forth. So as long as we understand that, and furthermore, we recognize, look at Benjamin Netanyahu. The guy is not as corrupt, arguably, because hardly anybody is, as a Joe Biden. He's not senile, but he certainly knows where the bread is buttered. He knows he's in real bad political trouble, and the way to get out of it is exactly what's going on. So in almost every respect, all we need to do is to be able to see through it. Now, that of course, and it goes without saying, but we should probably say it, we're certainly not endorsing terrorism, because in the difference between this and, say, a 9/11 or a Pearl Harbor probably comes closer. FDR knew that the Japanese had interests, and he knew that they would take the bait, and he allowed it. And in the case of 9/11, I think it was significantly worse than that. There were false flag elements and planning that went into pushing this. And the more you find out about that, the more you realize it was a complete lie. But in this case, people did die, and there were, in fact, real nasty, evil, evil terrorists that came across the border and were simply allowed to come in because, hey, we need an excuse to do what we have. The ends justify the means. And they're saying, oh, we need to wipe out all these enemies. We want war with Iran. So it looks like they have managed to get that to happen. But my encouragement to folks, and this is the point I made with Daniel Holdings yesterday on the Come Out of Her My People show, I can't help but look back at Genesis chapter 14. The very first war in Scripture there is it's called the four kings versus the five kings, or evil versus evil. But what you have, and Abram was involved in it later because they kidnapped his nephew Lot, is literally no right side. You have essentially bad guys fighting bad guys. And later, Lot goes in Abram goes in and rescues Lot. And he's offered a reward by the king of Sodom, who said, and Lot says, look, I don't want anybody saying that I had anything to do with you guys. I don't want them to say you made Abram rich. I don't want so much as a shoe latch from you scumbags. I don't want anything to do with you. We'll take enough just basically to pay the men for what they did, that did the fighting. Beyond that, you know, I've got nothing to say to you or do with you. And that, I think, is the attitude that we, you know, from Scripture and from understanding need to have. There is evil versus evil here, and we don't want to excuse evil ever, but nor do we want to say, hey, because they're evil, we'll be evil too and join with one evil against another. No, that's not the way the Scripture works. That's not the way it's shown to us an example. Go ahead.
Well, we're in agreement. There's a way according to Scripture, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof it leads to death. What is being fought for now is control of a narrative so that the dark war going on can get or maintain control of Earth. Okay, Earth is the prize here. And the means to that end is money, and the love of money is the root of all evil. And this is an evil empire, and they're all vying for a position inside this evil empire. And this is my opinion. I'd like to hear what you think. I think the Muslim Brotherhood, the black race, is being used as a weapon, as a tool by the what we call the deep staters, or the ones that have ultimate control of the money. They're being used as a tool. And I believe Obama is part of this. And I believe that Netanyahu is part of this too. And they want the black race to do an incursion so that it justifies the use of totalitarian power to, again, bring the world under their control and under their authority. But that pesky constitution keeps getting in their way. And so we can connect the dots between what happened in Israel and what's happening at our southern border here. And, you know, you mentioned before we went on the air, the day of rage that has been called for today. The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated into all of the Western European countries as a means to an end. It's not this charitable, oh, lovey-dovey, let's all just, you know, hold hands and sing kumbaya. That's not what the agenda is. The agenda is to destroy Western European culture, to destroy the principles of true Christianity, to destroy truth itself, and to destroy any idea that there's a creator, our Father in heaven, that exists. They want to be that, and that's what's really going on in the world, and it all ties together. Mark?
Okay, well, you mentioned a couple things. Let's talk a little bit about some of the elements, the lessons learned from here that we can really pay attention to. One, of course, is don't be fooled. I've seen any number of videos, some of them dated, in other words, not from the current conflict. Some of them are no doubt true. There was no question incredible atrocities here. It's hard to fathom just how evil this Hamas group is, but on the other hand, it's hard to fathom how anybody could have tolerated letting them run free. So that's part of it. I've seen some stories that should concern us, because we look at Israel and we tend to think, oh, you know, Israel's a place where years ago they learned that retired IDF and old gentlemen would take their rifles out and guard buses full of kids so that they didn't get hijacked or blown up by the terrorists then. That was kind of a good lesson, but it turns out that no, because it is a socialist country and they really don't trust the people, the general population with arms, unless you're IDF or retired, you're probably not going to have a firearm in Israel. Turns out it's a lot more difficult than most Americans were aware of, kind of like any other socialist regime. And that was demonstrated big time when IDF was elsewhere, and the people who were in the areas south of Gaza and those areas that were being overrun by Hamas were literally disarmed victims. And Hamas went through them like crap through a goose, to quote General Patton. And it was disgusting to see all of these armed intruders, having been allowed to come across the border, just going and taking people out who were disarmed and couldn't shoot back. So part of the lesson here is don't let that happen in once free America. And, of course, the real lesson is Israel had a guarded border. They withdrew it, and they allowed the Hamas to literally knock down the wall. There isn't a wall to knock down in the United States. They're coming across it to the tune of thousands per day, and it's getting worse, even if you can believe that. I mean, how much worse can it get? Eventually, there won't be anybody left outside the United States to come in. And if you ever want a pretty graphic demonstration of what an open border looks like and what can happen at the instant that the bad guys decide they want to kill you, take a look and see what we saw this week. I'm disgusted that more Americans aren't waking up to the real lessons here. Go ahead.
Well, again, we're seduced, we're hypnotized, we're mesmerized, we're brainwashed. Use whatever word you want to plug in there. We're distracted. We've bought in, again, we've bought into a narrative. We've bought into a lie as a people, as Americans. We've bought in to because we've been seduced by the love of money. We're all interested in, you know, as a people, it's still materialistic. America is based in materialism. And even if Trump does get reelected, what is this make America great again idea that he's promoting? Well, relative to what is greatness? You know, if we don't go back to the fundamental principles of spiritual truths, then all we're doing is reestablishing the same old wine in a brand new bottle. What's missing in America is an understanding of the spiritual principles that make us one nation in a communion with our Father. And that idea is so foreign to most Americans that they cannot get there. They've been seduced by their religious notions of freedom and religious restrictions of can and can't, traditions and rules and commandments of men that keep us out of communion with our Father, which is ultimately what Yeshua was explaining and demonstrating back in the day. And, you know, we adopted that as a country, but then we are immediately rebelling against it because we don't understand that the ways of this world are completely contrary to the ways and the principles of the kingdom of heaven. What we're experiencing is a culmination of rebellion and our own failure to embrace spiritual ideologies in lieu of mammon. So we've gone the way of every other nation. We've gone the way of the love of money. We've gone the way of mammon. And now the result is coming back around to bite us. And until we you asked why don't they see it, is because they can't see it. They are so caught up in their delusion because they don't love the truth. So the answer to the question, why can't they see it? They don't love the truth because they've been mistaught. They've been dumbed down. They've been led to believe that a lie is the truth. And so that's the why Americans are oblivious, Mark.
Well, okay, so the question, I guess, then becomes not so much why, because we've answered that, it's obvious, but But then what do we do about it? What do the rest of us do about it? Well, it starts out by saying, okay, we can come out of her and we cannot be oblivious. And that's part of the reason why I think it's important to go through some of these things and just apply the, apply the stupid test and ask yourself, do we believe that Mossad could be this incompetent? Do we believe that the American government could be so incompetent that they would elect somebody who was clearly senile, who was clearly on the take with Communist China, and who the laptop from hell showed is part of a crime family, not a family that deserves anything other than to be tried and then executed for treason. After a fair trial, mind you. But let's just understand, if the evidence, which has been out there for a long time, was ever shown to the American people and not hidden by those that are covering for them, there wouldn't be any doubt about what we already know. So, again, the lessons here are the key. And given that we know you're not going to hear it from CNN, well, then what? Don't believe CNN. Don't watch them. Maybe only as a way to understand the wiles of the enemy. I mean, it pays to understand how Satan's tools work. But understand who Satan's tools are is another key. So on every front, David, I think it's important that we look and see, okay, what are the lessons we can take home from the border situation, what are we seeing in Israel? And I guess the other one I'll throw out the table, we'll talk about all of these, is when there is an economic collapse coming, they take you to war. The economic collapse is here. We saw the CPI numbers this week. And no wonder they're pushing all of this stuff, because it's pretty clear we're getting there, and we're getting there fast. Go ahead.
Well, yes, the economy is about to fail, and they need the war as a cover. Okay, so they're going to drive us to World War III so that they can cover up their crimes. They don't care how much destruction they cause. All they care about is that a rope doesn't get tied around their neck. So these people are fighting for their lives. And and as long as they maintain control of the narrative, they feel relatively safe. And that's really what's going on. And, we go back to and I realize we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. Yeshua confronted the monetary powers of the planet. When he confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had set up the bank inside the temple. The love of money is the root of all evil. Our failure to understand that they have gotten a hold of our allegiance via their private monetary system, our failure to understand that is what is causing us to not accept the reality that Joe Biden is not the president. Barack Obama or whoever is moving his mouth. Joe Biden is a sock puppet for somebody else. So, no matter how corrupt he's been, we've got a black Muslim that has control of the office of president, that has allowed all these Muslims to come into America with one agenda, and that's to destroy America. And that's what's going on. So people wake up. It's here. And so really the question is, like you keep going back to, so what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to pretend like all of the mainstream media wants us to pretend that Joe Biden is actually the president? You know, when in fact the election was a fraud, it was not, he didn't get elected. So I would even argue technically that because of the treason and the fraud, I would argue that technically, Trump is still president. And you know, when you really break this down by principle, to dignify Biden's administration as having any kind of authority, you know, we're buying in, we're being sucker punched, Mark.
You won't hear me argue that that Biden is actually the president. I have studiously avoided using that term in the same sentence with the scumbag, because who are we kidding? We knew that it wasn't an honest election before they actually continued and completed the rigging. But that's not even the Fifth Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment in particular. They're all such dead letters at this point. People don't even joke about. They don't seriously understand. They don't seriously claim, I guess is what I need to say, that there really is a freedom to speak, because everybody knows you're not allowed to say what we all recognize. There was no election. There's not going to be an election. They're still lying about that.
You are Go ahead. We'll get on the other
side.
Well,
we'll have to break. And there we go. Welcome back, folks. Second segment now of the Drive Time Friday show. We're talking about a lot of things essentially that fall directly out of the alleged greatest failure of intelligence in modern history. And it's so unbelievable that, well, nobody except CNN and those that watch it and drink their Kool-Aid, or drink their Bud Light nowadays, are believing it. So the lesson is, at least in part, don't believe it. But what we're talking about are the other lessons people need to be paying attention to in such a time as this. So, David, let me go back to you. Take us where you'd like on this one.
Well, what comes to mind constantly to me is that, you know, Yeshua, he said, don't think I've come to bring peace but a sword, in the context of in the truth being a double-edged sword. We have been, we who are allied with Yeshua, are the weapons of war on this planet. And we're told in Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, for the tearing down of strongholds. Basically taking into captivity every vain imagination that sets itself up against the truth. And then we're told also in Ephesians that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That those principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, you can't really touch them, taste them, see them, smell them, hear them, feel them, except to the degree that those principles are embodied in what Randy Yarbrough used to call the demons in the bodies of men. So the facilitation of the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world are manifest through the physicality of people, just like the principles of the kingdom of heaven are implemented through the physicality of the body of Christ. So we are the body. We are the ones that are fighting this war. But see, we've not been taught that in our churches. We've been emasculated. We've been dumbed down because the church, as according to Paul Harvey, if you listen to his perspective, which I agree with, if I was the devil, the first thing I would do is infiltrate the church. And so we've got a bunch of emasculated men that have either bought in to this seductive narrative that we're weak and miserable creatures, and we're just going to wait for Jesus to come and fix all this. And I think that part of what may be happening in Israel, and I don't know, this is just a perspective, you know, because there's a lot of talk about the Armageddon and the apocalypse beginning when we see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. And I can't help but wonder, is this an organic thing that is actually fulfillment of prophecy? Or do those who know prophecy real well, are they staging this thing? So we've got that to consider. But we've ultimately have to consider, what is the truth about this thing? And I really appreciate this conversation, Mark, because, you know, without concluding what it is, at least we need to remain objective in our understanding of the big picture here, so that we don't get sucked in to a narrative that ultimately promotes an agenda that is anti-Christ and become the tools that we're actually opposing. And so this conundrum that's going on the planet right now, it's a great deception. It's so great that even the very elect could be deceived. And you just got to appreciate that, because our Father is the one ultimately that sends the powerful delusion. We have to understand there's a why to it, and we have to understand, you know, who we are relative to it, so that when we do come out of it, we're genuinely out of it and genuinely standing on the principles of truth, Mark.
All right. Well, I like to talk specifics when it comes to standing on the principles of truth, because one of the things that people have to live through it and see it. I've told this story a number of times about instrument training in an airplane, and essentially having the instructor, and it was deliberate, start asking me questions while I was trying to line up for an instrument approach, and it was going to be an ILS back or a back course, and which means that the needles are going to move the opposite direction, and you have to be ahead of the airplane, is what they say. You got to see what's coming so that you know what the instruments are going to look like before you get there. Well, he's talking to me and asking me questions. I answer the questions. Next thing I know, I don't know where I am, and I look at the instruments, and my instrument scan, basically, which end is up. All of a sudden, all I see are dials that don't mean anything, and it's brain overload. And everybody has to actually go through it in order to experience how horrific it is and what you do to fix it. Once you get there, it's real hard to fix it. So you practice that too. But essentially the key is to stay ahead of the airplane. In other words, know what you expect to see and be thinking about it before you get there. Otherwise, when everything happens at once and something goes wrong, you just go, tilt! And the next thing that happens is death. As a matter of fact, when a pilot loses control of an airplane, in other words, does not understand what's going on, the average life of a VFR pilot in instrument conditions who's not able to, you know, comprehend what the instruments are telling him is less than 2 minutes. That's a scary thing. Okay, what I'm suggesting is they have planned this to overload people that don't know how to stay ahead of the airplane, to stay ahead of what's coming. And what we're going to see, just like we saw it in Israel, is a whole lot of stuff happening all at once. Do you know what hitting the fan? And there's crap everywhere, and people panic. And panic is a great way to die. So what am I suggesting? It's not just a border invasion. It's not just an economic collapse. It's not just a famine. It's not just a cretin who's on the take in the White House. It's everything coming at once, and people simply saying, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I'll disconnect. Tilt. And at that point, folks, what we get is riots in the street, the Day of Rage, and a lot of stuff that we're starting to see play out, literally being beta tested now. So what I'm encouraging folks is, don't just say, oh, I see this. I recognize that Mossad allowed this to happen. They may not have participated, but they certainly allowed it to happen. They stood aside. The same thing is true with economics. Oh, I see that there's inflation coming. I see that there's hyperinflation coming. Well, that's not enough. Are you prepared for when the shelves are empty? Because that's going to happen at the same time that there's going to be riots and invaders coming up from the south and the cops stand down. And again, the other thing you learn from flying, and I want those analogies today, it seems, is that things never happen. People don't die in accidents because of a single point of failure. They die because of multiple things. They flew into bad weather. They weren't prepared. They ran out of fuel. They had an instrument failure. It takes more than one thing. And guess what? Big Brother has prepared more than one thing. Go ahead, David.
Well, first of all, what a brilliant explanation and a metaphor, an allegory of what's coming, because I couldn't have said it better. We are being absolutely overloaded on every front. And to the degree that we've bought into the world and are friends with the world, we're going to go insane if we're trying to straddle the fence outside the narrative back into the truth. We better be working on the truth and what is the truth and prayer and prayer and prayer and understanding. And without the preparation that is necessary to go through what we're about to go through, we're going to lose it. Because a lot of people are about to lose everything. And as I can't recall his name, used to say,
Salente.
Gerald Salente, when people lose everything, then they lose it. So dependency on their narrative is what they covet. It's what they need to remain in control. Our mission is an extraction. We must extract people from their buy-in to that narrative. And therein lies the crux of where the battle is, because they need our energy. They need our focus. They need our attention. They need our buy-in. They need our consent in order to pull off what they're doing. If enough of us withdraw, that gives them a serious problem. But how they solve that problem is by murder and mayhem and rioting to get our attention back on their narrative. So I couldn't have said it better than what you just said. I just wanted to say I agree with you. Keep going, Mark.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about some other specifics then. The I left out one of the things that will almost certainly happen too. I've got a story here from earlier in the week, Zero Hedge and the Brownstone Institute. More studies essentially saying, hey, do you know they lied to you when it came to COVID? Do you know that whole stinking thing was a whole great big stinking fetid lie? Yeah, we knew it at the time. Some of us, most didn't. But guess what? It works so well, you can rest assured they're going to do it again. They're actually pulling out the mask mandates. They were a disastrous mistake. People that now realize, oh, you know, when they told you don't take ivermectin, you're not a horse. They were lying because they wanted you dead. Do you think just maybe they might do it again? Is it possible that Fauci had yet another gain-of-function bioweapon on the table? Come on. A pilot doesn't go into instrument conditions without knowing of a plan B and a plan C. I guarantee you, Fauci and the scumbags didn't take us into the first COVID debacle without knowing, hey, if this one doesn't work or if we need a follow-up, we got it in plan. It's coming. So all of these things are on the horizon, and I encourage people, you have to be prepared in more ways than one, and you got to expect that when it worked before, they are going to do it again.
Here's something I want to just emphasize. They, the ones that are orchestrating this and using the FBI, and they're using the CIA and the Mossad and the governments of the world, the ones that are actually behind the orchestration of this grandiose facade that they're perpetrating on the planet, they need our undivided attention, and so they fight for it. But what one of their primary tactics is, and one of them, is they need us divided against each other. Okay, just because someone in my family is upset with me because I'm telling them the truth and they get all bent out of shape and they want to attack me, it's not personal. The attack is not personal. They don't get it. So we've got to be really careful to not buy into the my neighbor is my enemy and therefore I need to be aware of him, because that's what the enemy ultimately wants us to think, because as long as we're looking at someone else, not them, as the enemy, they're walking around safe. So even though Yeshua said a man's enemies will be the members of his own household, be careful. That doesn't mean that we need to go out and kill them to protect ourselves. He's just saying they're going to attack us because they don't understand. And it's okay. It's okay. Stand anyway. Stand in the truth anyway. But know that you're going to be attacked for telling them the truth. And get that it's not personal. They're not really the absolute enemy, the Satan, that ultimately is orchestrating the narrative. They are just duped, deceived. They have been misled. And they bought into a narrative that they shouldn't have, and all we can do is pray and hope that one day their eyes will be opened if they decided they want to love the truth, and they'll come and ask questions later. But let's not take our focus off what and who is the real enemy in this battle. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. I guess the problem that we have is there are lots and lots of real enemies in this battle, and many of them are pretending to be friends. We've got some more news things we probably need to talk about just to kind of round it out today, David. One of the distractions, if you will, is what's going on in the House of Representatives. Overnight, Steve Scalise, who isn't going to get to the 217 magic number that they've decided they're going to hold up and put a candidate forward until they have the votes already in place. Well, he was having some major health problems anyway. He has now withdrawn. So the left is saying, oh, look, the Republicans are in disarray. Well, the problem is there's supposedly a Republican majority, but it's not. This is a party that is divided between those that are basically just Democrats pretending to be rhino Republicans and those that actually were serious when they put their hand on a Bible and took an oath. And the trouble is, of course, most Americans can't tell the difference there either.
The most important thing to understand about the Constitution is it is a limitation on the power of government in addition to granting power to government. And to the degree that we don't understand those limitations, there aren't any. So these people that get up in Congress and they operate from the place that there's no restrictions on their power, they're not just rhinos. They're actually totalitarian dictators, and they're moving the system toward that type of system. The Constitution is getting in the way. And the more of us that know and understand that there are limitations on the power of government, the less apt we're going to be to comply with this notion that Romans 13 tells us to be doormats when it comes to government bureaucrats, Mark.
Okay. Yeah, Romans 13 is one of my old hot buttons. It's to the point where I look at that and I go, come on, is anybody seriously still that blind that they haven't figured it out yet? And the answer is, of course there are. There's a whole lot of people that are never going to figure it out. And they call themselves pastors and similar kinds of things, unfortunately.
It goes back to the infiltration of the institution. And,
yeah.
And our belief that it hasn't been. Now, if once we get, no, folks, it has been infiltrated, and there are some really horrible perspectives on Scripture, projections onto Scripture, and those projections are keeping us divided as a body.
All right, well, let's go there again, because I think we begin there, we end there. Yeshua said, and this has been misquoted a lot of times too, like so much of Scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil. No, it's not money itself, because we don't have money anymore. What we have is the love of money, and it's not even real money. It's a fake. It's currency, but it's not money. Money in Scripture is kesef. Back when we had a constitution, and I've pointed this out many times, it says nothing but gold or silver coin is to be made a tender payment of debt. Well, they ignored that, just like they ignore the first, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and so forth amendments to the Constitution, and they now have a fake. The Federal Reserve would not exist if we still had a constitutional republic, as opposed to a damned democracy, and so forth. Well, the problem is the following, David. You talked about infiltration and co-option. If people do not understand that if you give somebody the power to print money out of nothing, you've mentioned it many times, Lord Amschel Rothschild, give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes its laws. Well, the one who was supposed to make the laws and the statutes and judgments and commandments and give us the instruction is Yahuwah. We paid no attention to that. He calls dishonest weights and measures an abomination. I will contend that literally almost everything, one way or another, traces to what Yeshua said. This love of the fake, the love of money, putting that ahead of him, it becomes an idol, is the root of much of the evil, if not all of it. Why? Because if you can print it, you can take it over. You can infiltrate it. You can buy fake presidents. You can buy off electors. You can buy off poll watchers. You can put up cardboard in the windows. You can buy fake voting machines to literally shift votes from one column to another column. What can't you do if people don't recognize the fake from the lie and they fall for thinking, I got to have that paper fake. It's what makes the world go round. And ultimately, that's part of what is key to not only understanding and seeing through the lie, but coming out and recognizing the truth. We have to get back to what's real. And I've had the discussion, well, how about Bitcoin? How about all these other things? Well, the trouble with Bitcoin is when the web goes down, you got nothing. And Bitcoin is completely traceable, unlike silver. You can't tell who's had it and who's used it. With Bitcoin, the blockchain is public. Oh, yes, you have to do some chasing. Well, folks, with AI and supercomputers, it's pretty easy to do. And you don't know the back door's already in there even. But regardless, David, we start with recognizing the lie. It's important to have that love of the truth thing that you mentioned so frequently. But it's also vital that we learn to employ the truth and to say, okay, when I see through the lie, now what? I got to come out. I got to start building a society and a means of exchange that is independent of the fake. And by the way, the mark of the beast is coming. That's eventually going to be yet another death sentence. You know what, folks? Most folks aren't going to survive to get to worrying about the mark of the beast if they can't tell the fake from the lie right now. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when we talk about artificial intelligence, it prompts the distinction to actual intelligence. And it's been my experience that most people are already operating inside this world of artificial intelligence because they're plugged into the narrative. And inside the narrative, the artificial is real to them. We don't know what intelligence is if we're not operating in the spirit of our Father, which is the spirit of truth. So the artificial intelligence has an advantage over people that are operating inside this subjective thinking of reality that is all narrative-based thinking. Coming out of that is a actual intelligence, which is what Yeshua operated in, was actual intelligence. He was showing us the way out. And we have put limitations on ourselves by failing to connect the reality that Yeshua said, look, the things that I do, you shall do also, and even greater things. We can't even get to the true milk of the word, let alone the meat of the word, because we're still operating inside this religious philosophy that we're weak and impotent. So the true intelligence is what will ultimately overcome artificial intelligence, but to the degree that people have bought into their own artificial intelligence, thinking that they're intelligent, they're locked into a dilemma. So go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's see. We got 2 minutes. I'm going to mention one other thing on the economic front. One more thing to be aware of. And this is it's not like it's not old. It's been around for a long time. But the derivative and $1 quadrillion explosion that's waiting out there. There have been stories on this published for literally years at this point about how bad it's gotten. And what's a derivative? Well, a derivative, you know, to an engineer, it's the first derivative. It's the rate of change of something. In economics, what a derivative is it's not actually the stock, but we'll sell something based on the move of price in the stock or based on the stock. So it's not the first thing. It's a derivative of the thing that isn't really the thing. Okay, that's sounds a little bit nerdy for folks, but ultimately a derivative is a bet on the fact that something's going to change. And yeah, we can build entire, given we've got fakes anyway, we'll build more fakes upon the fakes. And what they will do is they'll say, well, this is hedging. We're hedging our bets. But the trouble is what they don't realize is they're betting that the entire system isn't going to come apart in the process. And when it does, the hedge that is supposed to be insurance against the bets fail too. And the house collapses and it burns down. So what I'm encouraging people to realize is this derivative monster is out there. It is so incredibly huge that it literally dwarfs most people's imaginations. And when it comes apart, it'll happen with a sudden vengeance that's going to catch almost everybody who hasn't been aware of it off guard. We're going to see a collapse the likes of which people say, oh, who could have ever thought that would happen? Go ahead, David, just 30 seconds or so.
Well, I don't know what more I could say. Yes, the whole derivative, our reality is a derivative. Because we've built line upon line, precept upon precept, upon a subjective narrative. And now we can't find our way out of this thing because we have not been operating in true intelligence. And so it begins with the debasement of the money and the currency in our economy. And we've lost sense of reality. And so, I don't know. There you go.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks, folks. Have a blessed weekend. Pay attention. And Shabbat Shalom.